Let's go right to the scripture this morning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. We did not finish with chapter 4, verse 12 yesterday, and I would like to begin there this morning. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Now, yesterday we spent a good deal of time on the first sentence in verse 12, no man hath seen God at any time. As the verse continues, we move to a second sentence, if we love one another. It is conditional. If we love one another. And as I pointed out yesterday at the conclusion of the broadcast, I was running out of time. I find the closer I get to running out of time, the faster I talk. I want to slow it down a little bit. If we love one another. The word love, as I pointed out yesterday, is coming from a Greek word, agape. It has as its point of origin God, from the heart of God. This is the source of agape love. It has no human analog. The love between a man and his wife does not approach agape love. The kind of love between a mother for her child does not begin to scratch the surface of agape love. Any individual who has ever experienced this love has done so because God has placed that love in his heart. This cannot and does not take place without that individual having first given his heart to Christ. Now, when he says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. It is not a matter of a sentimental, emotional, oh, we love one another. I've heard people say that, and the look on their face and the tone of their voice is about as genuine as a $3 bill. Now, to my knowledge, they've never printed a $3 bill, and if anybody hands you one and expects change, you're being set up. It's a fake. It's not real. And all too often, neither are these people who want to run their gums about love. Now, this love, this divinely originated love, coming from God, indwelling the believer, you will notice, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us. Now, the word dwelleth, the Greek word means to continue to be present with, to abide with. God dwells in us. Who? The ones who are loving one another with this divine love. The fact that they share this love is evidenced by the fact, or is evidence of the fact, that they have given their heart to Jesus Christ. There are people who will beat the drum on, let's say, the charismatic gift of tongues. And they will say, well, if you've been saved, you'll speak in tongues. And if you haven't spoken in tongues, you've not been saved. Now, the pitiful thing about it is, for all the sincerity evidenced by these people, there's no Bible to back that up. However, you will notice there are some things that the Scripture clearly states are evidence of the fact that a person has been born again. And this agape love is one such of those evidences. God dwells in us. Why? Because he placed that love there, and that is evidence of the fact that he is with us. God dwelleth in us. Now notice, please, I was using the word with, but John uses the word in. God dwelleth in us, inside us. When you stop to think about that, you go, okay, this is weird. Yeah, I suppose in one sense you could call it that. Incomprehensible, hard to understand, really difficult to lay hold of the concept. God in us? Now, keep in mind that when a person gives their heart to Jesus Christ, at the moment of their conversion, they are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. God places in you the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that if you push the illustration far enough, you might be able to break it down, but let me illustrate it from the world of technology just a little bit. If you have a home computer, and somebody says, hey, do you surf the net? Do you get on to the internet? You surf the web. And you say, no, I can't get on. Well, how come? Well, I don't have the equipment to do it. And they said, well, you need to go out and buy you a modem. A modem is an interface that connects your computer by virtue of a phone line into a server, which puts you, and I'm not going to pretend to explain it in such a way you're going to understand it, but the point is, without that interface, without that connection, you can't get on the web. Now, there's a lot of garbage on the web, that's true. But God's given you enough sense, I would think, you ought to be able to tell the right from the wrong, but there's also a wealth of information on the web that's worth finding out, worth knowing, all sorts of stuff. I can, if you're interested, I can put you in touch with people who can give you just scads and scads of good Christian web pages where you can get anything from book lists, even down to the point of downloading entire libraries for your own use as a Christian. Now, this idea of being connected to the web, anytime you dial up, assuming that, you know, the hardware is functioning properly, you can get on the web. Now, you say, well, what's that got to do with the Holy Spirit? Okay, I said I was going to use that to illustrate a connection here. When the believer gives his, or when the individual gives his heart to Jesus Christ, the believer is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. If you will bear with me, the Holy Spirit serves in his person as being the interface between you and God. I mean, he is God, after all, God the Holy Spirit. But if you want to look at it from the standpoint, he's the interface. He is the one that keeps you, and you are, if you will, hardwired into the system. You see, too many times, it was like the old songs that used to be written back when telephones began to be accepted into the American home. There was a song written, "Telephone to Glory, Central's always on the line, lines never busy, blah, blah." It breaks down in this sense. You don't have to dial up God. You may have to dial up, or your modem will dial up the server so you can get on the net, but you never have to dial up God. The line is always open. The connection is always open. You talk to God any time, all the time. Paul, in his writing to the Thessalonians, gives a command. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You see, because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, that is possible. There is no time, night or day, when your conscious mind is functioning that you cannot talk to God. The only thing that can interfere with that, the only thing that can produce the static that keeps communication from being clear and free, is sin. Assuming that that is not a problem in your life, then there's no reason why you cannot talk to God all the time. You say, well, you can't go around praying all the time. You can, because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. You can maintain an attitude of constant communion with God without going through the mechanical and immature kind, well, I don't say immature, but childlike way of, you know, folding the hands, bowing the head, getting on your knees. And look, prayer is communication with God from your heart to God's heart. You see, it's not just about words that you say. He knows your heart. You can pray for things for the wrong reason and never get it. Like James says, ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There are times you pray for things and God won't give it because you're asking for the wrong reason. There are times you pray and God doesn't answer because of sin. Sin has blocked your prayer. But otherwise, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. The Holy Spirit indwelling you, dwelling in us, and his love is perfected. The word perfected comes from a Greek expression that means to add what is lacking in order to render a thing full or to make complete. Now, I don't want to give the impression that there's something missing from God's love. There's a lot of foolish, I hesitate to call it preaching, but you have religious people who are making comments about, you know, oh, God needs you. And no, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you like you need him. Let's face it, he's totally self-sufficient. You are not. You can try, but let's face it, friend, you need him a whole lot more than he could ever possibly need you. This love is perfected in us. It is as you begin to experience this love that you begin to be rendered complete. Now, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Verse 13, hereby we know that we dwell in him. You remember here a few broadcasts ago, I went into all the places you find this word or this expression, hereby know we, the indicators, the ways you can tell, this self-test, if you will, that John repeatedly flags for us. I mean, here are these things, and it's like he puts a little flag on it so that we can see it. Whoa, hereby know we that we dwell in him. I think this is important. Some of these you say, oh, okay, and you just kind of glance over and pass by them. But here's one you better look at. Hereby know we that we dwell in him. Now, you'll notice a relationship here. Back in verse 12, God dwelleth in us. Hereby know we, in verse 13, that we dwell in him. Remember what the Lord said back in John chapter, the Gospel according to John chapter 15? If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Okay, same relationship being referred to here. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us. This is how you can tell that we continue to be present in him, as he is continually present in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us. Notice, please, there is a relationship of rest here. We dwell in him, and he in us. There's no place for chaos. There's no place for, oh, I don't know if I got it or not. There is a tranquility. There is a peace that passes comprehension. When you have the relationship with God that the Bible says is available and is possible, indeed, it is a relationship that produces rest and peace of mind. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Paul told the Romans in chapter 8, verse 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If you've given your heart to the Lord, the Holy Spirit resides within you. He is the earnest, the seal, the promise. He's the brand, the label, the mark that indicates that you belong to him, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Well, I got less than 10 seconds to say goodbye for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says as we continue our study in 1 John. See you then.